And I use that word savor to begin to get us thinking about savoring the incarnation. You can't savor something if you jam it in your mouth and swallow it in 2 seconds. It takes a little while to lay on the palate of the tongue to get the richness of the flavors. And we want to take some time these Sunday mornings to savor what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Last week we savored the fact that Jesus, that little baby in a manger that we see and picture, was fully God. Fully 100% God. And today we want to look at the other side of that coin, the other side of Jesus, if you will. And the fact that he was every bit as human as we are. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask you to come now, continue to fill this space with your presence, and open our minds that we might think deeply about Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So let's read some of the descriptions that the Scripture paints for us of Jesus. And I'm going to use some different translations because I liked maybe the way they turned a phrase to cause us to think about Jesus. And so the first one we heard last week, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And the word dwelling is actually the word tabernacled. It's the word that's behind the Feast of Tabernacles, where the Jewish people would go out and live in little tents, reminding themselves of what their foreparents did as they came from Egypt and were saved. I like the way Eugene Peterson in The Message just gives that verse a little twist. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Think about your neighbors. Imagine if Jesus lived right next door to you, he would seem every bit as normal and human and be a regular guy just like your neighbors. Maybe Jesus would like his music loud. Maybe he wanted his grass really green. I don't know. He was human. He enjoyed life. Maybe he would put up all kinds of bird feeders and squirrel feeders. Who knows? He was human, like you and me. Paul gives us a description of Jesus. But before he gives the description, and the reason because he gives the description of Jesus, he has a statement to make to the church. So Paul begins by saying, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So his whole point for giving this description of Jesus is to remind us that we're called to live like Jesus lived. And now listen to this description. Though he was God, he, Jesus, did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and died a criminal's death on the cross. Just allow that to steep for a moment. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. Every bit as human as you are. A couple more word pictures. The writer to the Hebrews pens a number of word pictures of Jesus. Now the verses I'm going to read for us are only a portion of a much longer description, a much more involved description of Jesus. Begin in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Peterson translates it this way. Since the children, speaking of the children of Israel or people in general, since the children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by His death. By embracing death, taking it into Himself, He destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life scared to death of death. It's obvious, of course, that He didn't go to all of this trouble for the angels. It was for people like us, children of Abraham. That's why He had to enter into every detail of human life. Then, when He came before God as high priest to get rid of the people's sin, He would have already experienced it all Himself, all the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where help was needed. So, my dear Christian friends, companions in following this call to the heights, take a good, hard look at Jesus. He is the centerpiece of everything we believe. Then if we were to move to the next chapter, chapter 4, in his continuing description, the writer goes like this. So then, since we have this great high priest who entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Jesus, fully human. What did God gain by doing it this way? Now again, I don't presume to know all of God's wisdom and understanding. But as I savored the fact that our Savior, Jesus, was every bit as human as we are, I realized that Jesus is an example to us on how to live as a God follower. Because He is human, just like me, just like you, I can watch Him. I can pay attention to the way He lived, the way He interacted with people, and I can learn from Him. Now, the first thing we need to notice about Jesus' life as a human being is He lived a normal person's life. It's different than ours, but everyone back then was different than ours. But He would be kind of in the bell curve of life, somewhere in that normal middle. Last week, the royals were in New York City, you know, and they got to go to special events. And, you know, here on my sports radio talk shows, they're talking about the fact that the Royals are going to go to the basketball game. The Knicks don't have much to talk about these days. But there was a lot of airtime about the fact that the Prince and Kate were going to be there. I couldn't get tickets to that game. And their life isn't fully normal. There are pressures that they face that the normal person doesn't face, and there are blessings of life that they enjoy that the normal person never will enjoy. They're human, absolutely, but I don't connect. I don't know how to wave. But Jesus purposely chose the average, normal human life. He wasn't born in a royal palace. If anything, he was born on the lower end of normal. So that people could look to him and say, if he's following God, he can be example to me on how to follow God. No special privileges. The writer of Hebrews really goes out of his way to paint Jesus to be human in every way. Some of the phrases that we heard, he took on flesh and blood. He entered every detail of human life. He faced all the same testings we do. These are all phrases from the writer of Hebrews trying to emphasize that he's like us. And it's no wonder that the writer of Hebrews says to us, take a hard look at Jesus. He is the centerpiece of everything we believe. We race through life. We race through sometimes our readings of the Gospels. We want to hear what Jesus teaches, and that's important. But it's just as important to watch how he lives. How did he speak to people? How did he confront people when he had to confront them? Remember, in Paul's description of Jesus, he began by saying, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. He is an example to us on how to live. Savor that. Ponder that. Paul, in another place, in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. There it is in plain English. Because he became a human being, because he lived our life, we can follow his example. Because he's like us. That's a gift of the incarnation, that Jesus became like us. In his humanity, he is our example on how to live a life that honors God. The way he spoke to people, the kinds of things he did, the deeds he did, the way he loved people, the integrity he had when questioned, even when questioned under duress, the honesty he had, the other-centeredness, his ability to see what other people needed, not just see life through his own needs. By becoming human, Jesus connected God to us in a way that only becoming human could do. We can speak about God, but in Jesus we can see how the perfect human life is lived, because he was both fully God and fully human. He's an example to us. He's an example to us on how to connect, how to speak, how to reach out to other people. On your way out of the sanctuary this morning, we have a little, it's not really a gift for you, it's a little way to help you connect with your neighbors and friends. It's It's just a little card. It's about this big. When it's folded in half, which it is, it's about the size of a business card. And on one side, it kind of advertises our Christmas Eve service. It's got a nice little graphic, a little Merry Christmas, a little bit about our candlelight service, Christmas Eve. And on the other side, it's a partnership that we have with Garden Catering right here in town. And anyone who takes that little card and goes to Garden Catering gets a free cup of coffee. It's a little bit more than just, hey, here's a flyer about who we are. And our hope is that you'll take some of these, and we've got plenty. And if you need more, since we produce them, it's magic, not exactly magic. It's magic and a lot of hard Lisa work. We can produce more. But we're hoping it's a way that you and I can connect with people we know and say, hey, here's both a gift for you and an invitation for you to come and worship on Christmas if you don't have a place already to worship Christmas Eve. So that's what God did in Jesus. He came and He connected with us in a way that only a human being can connect with another human being. He's an example for us. But Jesus is even more than that. He is both an example for us and He is a substitute for us, rescuing us by His death on the cross. That's the writer of Hebrews' words. He said, since the children are made in flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by His death. By embracing death, taking it to Himself, He destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life, scared to death of death. See, Jesus is both an example of how to live, but then He goes that next step, does something that human beings could not do. He became that perfect substitute for us at the end of His life. Remember, we were told that He faced all the same testings we do, but one change. He was without sin. And because He could live that perfect, sinless human life, He could become for us the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Through the fact that He is that substitute on the cross, we can find mercy and grace through belief in Him. He really is the centerpiece of the whole faith. I really like that picture. Jesus came to offer each of us mercy and grace. He lived as an example until the time was right when He could be that substitute for us. And that whole issue of Jesus becoming a substitute is far broader than what the writer of Hebrews says in this one part. The Scripture is filled with an incredible mosaic of what God has done. But characterize it this way. Jesus, the perfect human being, died on the cross in our place, Scripture says, so that we could be forgiven. He took our sin and He offered us the gift of His perfect life. There's an exchange that happens. And the Father now sees everyone who believes in Jesus through the lens of Jesus' gift. And the Father sees us dressed in the righteousness of Jesus, the gift of God. So as you hustle and bustle your way through the final 11 days leading up to Christmas, take a few moments to take a deep breath, to remember that baby's birthday that we celebrate on the 25th was every bit as human as you are. That he lived a life that can be an example for you and for me on how to live in a way that blesses and honors God. And then, at the end of his life, he gave the miraculous and wonderful gift of becoming your substitute and my substitute, taking on our sin and the wrath of God on our behalf so that we don't have to face that. And the entry key is belief in Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus is fully God and fully man? Do you believe that he came to announce God's good news, to teach God's way of life, and to be that way for people into life? Because if you believe, then you and I and all who believe have boldness to come before God, because he has become our substitute. Savor that. It's the story of our faith. It's the centerpiece of all we believe, because it's the story, it's the account, it's the truth of Jesus as told in God's book, the Bible. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for giving us space in our life to be able to think about things deeply. And I pray that each of us here would take hold of that ability we have so that we would savor the gift of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you today particularly for your humanity, the fact that you left perfection in heaven and came down to imperfection here at earth, that you lived among us and experienced life as we experience it from conception in your mother's womb to that last gasp on the cross. You felt pain, you celebrated joy. You knew disappointment and heartache. You knew the joy of deep friendships, loving parents, the death of a father. Lord Jesus, we can watch you in the scriptures and see a perfect human life being lived out. And we thank you. We thank you too that when the end came, you took our sin and became our substitute as you hung on the cross. And we have life through faith in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.